All right, now this recorder has started. And we are at NTI James, chapter 1, page 419.
419.
Okay, good. Here we go. Greetings, my beloved. Trust is your bedrock. I ask you to hold to trust in all things. Trust the healing process, for it brings you. There is no division within yourself. There is only the illusion of division, and illusion is nothing at all. So, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that was a pretty beautiful start to James. You know, of course, asking us to trust all things, but then specifically listing trust the healing process, and also trust, you know, that everything that comes to us is coming to us because that's what's best for our own healing or our own awakening. And even trust this mind. You know, some people treat the mind like it's the enemy.
I had a double take when you read that.
Yeah, yeah. Trust your own mind. Yeah, for it does know the true desire of your heart and it will rest. So, you know, one of the things I'm reminded of right now is what people call the law of attraction. You know, how they practice if they want the red convertible, they practice imagining themselves the convertible, smelling the convertible, touching the convertible, steering wheel. Yeah. Well, you know, if we are trusting that our mind will rest, that might actually lead to its resting. Rather than fighting it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So trust that your mind will rest so that you can practice your true desire. And then, of course, trust yourself. And again, this is almost a repetition because the word self here means all things again. It says there's no division within yourself. There's only the illusion of division. And illusion is nothing at all. So everything in the world, everything that we're aware of is a part of ourself. And at its core, what it wants is awakening, no matter what it looks like. So, you know, we were talking before we turned the recorder on about ISIS, because that's in the news right now. And, you know, sometimes when we watch what's happening with ISIS, you know, especially the black uniform with the face covered and all that, you know, it doesn't look like the good and the beautiful. It also doesn't look like there's anything there in, you know, in that person, the executioner, I'll call him, the guy that they're always showing in the videos. It doesn't look like there's anything in his mind, in the way he sees, that's in common with my mind and the way I see. Like, just, it's like a completely different perspective, an opposite perspective. And what this is saying is that even there, the true desire is awakening. And you know, you can really see that if you talk to anyone long enough. Because really what everyone wants, including that executioner, is peace and happiness. It's just that some people have not yet realized that the way to peace and happiness is letting go of everything. And so some people are still trying to find peace and happiness by controlling the world, making the world go their way. And this is a strong example of that. You know, ISIS is trying to make the world go their way, right? Force it into happening. Force it into the peg they want it into. But ultimately, don't you think they just want peace and happiness in their way? I mean, right? Isn't that what they're after? Their ideal? So that desire that we all have for peace and happiness, that is our true desire. And everyone has the same desire. And it says that we can trust that. And again, I think that really changes the way you look at people when you understand that even though they may be twisted in their thinking right now and their approach to peace and happiness, that really everybody just wants the same thing. I like to even think about, as crazy as it sounds, I like to even think about everybody eats, everybody breathes, everybody pees, everybody poops. You know, it's helpful to remember that we're much more the same than we are different. At least it's helpful to me. So verses 9 to 11. Trust is the bedrock of your faith. For what you trust in, you also put your faith in. Trust and faith are inseparable. So what you trust in, you put your faith in. So if you really trust that ultimately everyone wants the same thing, what that leads you to do is put your faith in true desire. And if you put your faith in true desire, you yourself are going to come from that. You know, it's going to be how you perceive. You're going to perceive through the filter of true desire. You're going to make decisions through the filter of true desire. So even if I'm looking at the executioner and I'm trusting that what he really wants is peace and happiness, I'm actually embracing my true desire deeper through that projection of trust, I'm going to call it, through that projection of trust. And I'm going to come from my true desire more and more and more. And you can probably just look at that and see how that works. I mean, imagine hating the executioner. And then imagining, you know, not understanding him, but trusting that what he really wants is peace and joy. Can you feel the difference in yourself, right? Which one brings out the love in you and the peace and the joy? Right. And yeah.
Can you, is that something you can learn, or is it more like, I'm not sure how to say the question. Can you learn? Is that something that one can exercise and learn how to?
Yeah, well, and I think one way to learn it is, of course, you know, we're probably not going to get the chance to talk to the executioner, not if we're lucky. I don't think none of us want to get that close to him. But there will be plenty of other people in your life that you're not going to understand why they're saying what they're doing, or you know, saying what they're saying or doing what they're doing. But if they're close enough that you can talk to them and ask them questions, and if you ask the right questions, what you'll find out is at some point they think, if I do this, then I'll be happy, or then I'll have peace. And if you talk to enough people, you'll find that that's what everybody wants. And in that way, you will learn that this is true. You know, even when someone kills someone, you know, there's a thought, there's some kind of an insane thought there that, you know, if you weren't here, I could be happy. Right? Like, you're the obstacle to my peace, and if I get rid of you, then I can be happy. And really, that's all anybody wants is happiness, peace. You could also say love. But I think really happiness, peace is even, believe it or not, stronger than love. Yeah. You know, not the way humans think of love. Love is still a way to get happiness, peace. Right? Happiness, peace is what people really want. Yeah. So,
now, expounding on what Yes. Ben asked you, you mentioned, if I see everything through the filter of true desire, that helps you to be open to see that in everyone.
And to come from that.
And come from that. So, I guess constantly telling ourselves what our true desire would help us be more in touch with our
Yes.
true desire, so that we could latch onto it every time we're trying to see something clearer or whatever. Would you say that?
Yes. In fact, in the MPP program, in the True Discernment class, that's one of the things we teach as one of the most helpful tools, is to discover what your, we call it your spiritual aspiration. What your spiritual aspiration is, what your true desire is. And then once you discover what that is, to kind of keep that in the front of your mind all the time. Because, you know, whatever desire is in the front of your mind in the moment, and there's, it seems like there's almost always a desire there. Whatever desire is in the front of your mind in the moment, that's what's driving you. So if the desire in the front of your mind right now is, I want people to respect me, you know, you're going to act a certain way. And if the desire in the front of your mind is, I want to make more money, you're going to act a certain way. And if the desire in the front of your mind is, you know, I just wish everybody would leave me alone, you're going to act a certain way. But if the desire in the front of your mind is, I want to be love, or I want to see truly, or, you know, something along that vein, you also are going to act a certain way. So the way that you act, the way that you choose to perceive the world, the way that you speak, comes from the desire that's in the front of your mind. And what we don't realize is these desires shift and change. You know, like if you could really pay attention, you notice at one moment you're wanting to be left alone, the next moment you're, you know, wanting to be respected, and, you know. So the trick is to get your spiritual aspiration and realize that you really do want that above all of these other competing desires, and to put that in the front and hold it there. Yeah. Okay, so verses 9 to 11 again. Trust is the bedrock of your faith. For what you trust in you, also put your faith in. Did I read that right? Something went wrong in my head. Let me do it again. Trust is the bedrock of your faith. For what you trust in, there we go, you also put your faith in. That sounds better. Trust and faith are inseparable. Do not look at your false self and the circumstances of the world, putting faith and trust, which may seem like fear, in those circumstances. So, for example, you know, America just went through an Ebola scare. I don't know for sure if it's over or not, but it's not as high in the news right now with other things happening. When America went through this Ebola scare, they were putting faith and trust in the false self and the world. And when you put faith and trust in the false self, what happens is you automatically become vulnerable, because the false self isn't going to last. You know, the false self dies. And so if you put faith and trust in the false self, you automatically become vulnerable. And then you have all of these things you have to fight, resist, avoid. And so something like Ebola, you know, that's a big sign of how vulnerable we feel when we put our faith in the false self. So it's really faith and trust, but it feels like fear. But what you, because you're putting your faith and trust in the wrong thing, right? So do not look at your false self and the circumstances of the world, putting faith and trust, which may seem like fear, in those circumstances. To do this is to put faith in illusion. With faith placed in illusion, illusion is what you shall see and experience. This is not the experience of your joy, because this is not what you truly want. Put faith in your truth by trusting your true desire. Listen within, with true desire as your focus. In this way, you shall know what to do. Put all of your trust in what you hear, and your faith is given back to yourself. So this is an interesting point, too, that if you keep your true desire or your spiritual aspiration out in front, it says you're always going to know what to do. Always, always. That's amazing. And if you pay close attention, you'll notice that whenever you really get confused about what you should do, stop and ask yourself, wait a minute, what am I desiring now? Because you know what you're going to find is another desire has gotten in front. You're desiring more money. You're desiring more time alone. You're desiring, you know, respect. You're desiring something else whenever you're feeling confused. If you remember your spiritual aspiration and it's in front, what I really want is to awaken, or whatever, however you word that, what I really want is to awaken, suddenly everything gets clear. You know, like maybe a moment ago you were all worried about, you know, getting a certain job. If you need a job and money's your thing, you're all worried, which job do I take? Should I return this phone call, or have I nagged them too much? Blah, 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 blah. And then you pull out of the back of your mind and put it in the front of your mind, what I really want is to awaken. I'll just wait. You know, whatever happens, that's what's meant to happen. It changes everything. You know, there's an automatic shift that happens. Right. So
yeah, it changes waiting. It changes waiting.
Yeah.
The phenomena of waiting.
Yeah, so whenever you're confused, stop and ask, wait a minute, what am I desiring now? And you'll see that the wrong desire is in the lead. And then just shift. And that's going to make everything clear. So again, put faith in your truth by trusting your true desire. Listen within with true desire as your focus. In this way, you shall know what to do. Put all of your trust in what you hear, and your faith is given back to yourself. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial means, blessed are you who remember to use all things to practice the true desire of the heart. For with practice and focus, your true desire stands clear within your sight until the naturalness of your being is as natural in your awareness as true desire is now in the quiet of your heart. So this is interesting too. This says if you keep that true desire in front, even when, you know, it gets really tough, when things are very, very challenging in life, but look at them through the true desire, see even those most challenging of circumstances as here to help you awaken, right? It says if you keep doing this, at some point, the truth of what you are, which it's calling the naturalness of your being, the truth of what you are is going to be natural in your awareness. Like you will just know who you are. In fact, I think I saw, it seems like it was Muji once when he was trying to explain to someone how when you're awake, this naturalness of your being is natural. And he said, well, just like it's natural for you, like if I just call you, you know, Priscilla, it's natural for you to turn your head and go, huh? Or Dan, you know, you don't have to think, oh, is that me? You know, it's just very natural. He says, this true self that you are, this awareness, it shifts in the front and it's just natural. That's who you are. And that's what this is saying. It will become natural if you keep your true desire in front and view everything through that. Let that be your only filter in the world. And that who you are is going to come forward just through that practice alone. Verses 13 to 15. God is the truth within you. It does not tempt. God is. But God can be desired through your desire to do so. Do not be unaware of this desire. It is there within your mind. But it is a false desire that lingers from a moment of the past. In your weariness, you follow it in habit. But in your alertness, you remember to place this worn-out desire aside. So again, this is telling, you know, this is telling us that God just is. And so, you know, God doesn't tempt us. I'm not sure where that thought comes from. I must have had some kind of a thought at one time that's being addressed there that I can't remember now. It's saying that God does not tempt us, which right now I can't even imagine why it says that, but I'm sure then it made perfect sense. But it is saying that we can deny God completely. We can be completely unaware of God. We can also be completely unaware of our desire to know God. But whenever that happens, it's just because, you know, we're kind of stuck back in that old wish, wishing things were different than they are in truth. And it says that, you know, when we are kind of tired, because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but even now I sometimes get tired, you know, especially at the end of the day. You know, I still want to just sit down and just turn on the TV and, you know, like no more spiritual practice. I just kind of want to quit for the last half hour of the day every day. Right now I'm actually working on that because I think that's one of my worst habits right now. But I still have that. At the end of the day, she's like, okay, I don't want to do anything. I just want to watch TV for half an hour and then go to bed. So it's saying that when we get weary, we fall back into our ego out of habit. But when we are not weary, when we are alert, it's very easy for us to stay in our true desire. And it's just pointing this out to us so that we will be aware that it's true. Sometimes we get weary, and that's when that true desire shifts to the back. But whenever we're alert, the true desire is in front because we do know what we want. So one thing we might need to just pay attention to is I'm getting weary. I can tell I'm getting weary right now because I'm letting my true desire fall into the background and something else is coming to the front. And I don't know that you really need to do anything about it except just be honest about what's going on. And again, as we look at things with our awareness, eventually the true desire starts kicking in that area too, and pretty soon we'll find ourselves not wanting to grow weary anymore and we'll grow weary less. Verses 16 to 18. Do not deny your truth, because it does not change. In your denial, you misunderstand what you do, and you experience your misunderstanding and unhappiness. Today, somebody sent me a quote from some Swami, Swami Tatra, I think his name was. And the quote said something like, even in our slavery, we are free. I'm missing something in that quote, but the idea, even in our slavery, we're free. And the idea was that if I am a slave, the ability to play this role of slave comes through my freedom to be anything I want to be. You know, because I'm not really this human. I'm really the divine one that is causing this entire world script. And so any role that we're playing here, whether it's slave, whether it's cancer patient, whether it's, you name it, it's always being played through our freedom. And then the quote went on to say, so why not use our freedom to become free? You know, if I'm a slave through my freedom to be a slave, why not use my freedom to become free? That's a reasonable question, don't you think? That's a reasonable question. So this is saying, do not deny your truth because it does not change. Your truth being that you are the divine one who really is making all of the decisions. It says, in your denial, you misunderstand what you do. You know, you're making yourself a slave and pretending like it's somebody else's fault. But if you remember your truth, you know, something, then things can begin to change. You don't have to be a slave. So remember who you are, because that's always who you are, even when you're playing victim. Verses 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this and store it in your mind and heart. Be quick to listen to the true desire of the heart, and you are quick to realize the joy of your truth. So right now, if I want to be the victim, I mean, that's really my desire. Most people don't say, oh, I want to be the victim. But if you look, it's true. You'll start noticing that you have this pleasure out of being pitied and being the victim. And there's this...
win by losing.
Yeah. You know, Danielle was talking about today how she noticed in her mind this thought come up that she might have this illness. We both decided she doesn't. It was just kind of imaginary. But that she might have this illness, which is terminal. And then we decided, you know, you don't, you're okay, you don't even need to go to the doctor, right? But then she looked at it and she wanted to confess. She says, you know, for a moment there when I thought I might have this terminal illness, there was this little happiness. And I said, well, of course. I said, that's the way it is for everyone. You know, somebody gets a sore throat and they go, oh, I got a sore throat. But you know what? There's something in them that's like happy about that. You know, if you really look honestly, it's like, oh, maybe I'll get some attention or, you know, now you don't have to go to school or, you know, there's, you know, and we love even our most horrific roles. We love even our most horrific roles in this life. So this is saying, instead of listening to all of these kind of sick desires, like, oh yay, I'm sick, listen to your true desire. Again, put that in front. You know, always, everything is for my awakening. Always, all I want is awakening. You still get the sore throat, but now it's not like, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this experience is for my awakening. And you're not then, you're not playing the ego's hand. See, if true desire is not up front, if any other desire is up front, you're playing the ego's hand is what you're doing. And you don't want to do that anymore, right? You want to play your hand by keeping your true desire up front.
So, question, can you can successfully make it through a bout with a common cold? Say 1 minute at a time or one, you know, just staying, right? Just,
that's the perfect way to say it.
And it would, your experience of that, which is for most people annual or, you know, twice a year, would be different from all the other years that you had the same thing twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you just subtract all the stuff, and then would you, I don't know, it's somewhat humorous, I think, the multiple layers that go into just the common, the sniffles are not the common cold, because you're winding up this, like a story. But if you look at the reality of it and you just stay with it, you know, 1 minute at a time, you're like, oh, this is, hey, you still have the symptoms, wow, you know, but it is different from, for me anyway, from the decades of, you know, two or three, you know, or at least one a year.
Yeah.
So, NTI, I doubt that I would have ever, because I still go through things that other people go through, you know, just bouts of whatever here and there. But I don't know if I could directly attribute it to NTI, but now I can just, and at times it's 1 minute at a time, or one breath at a time, but the reality of it is just, oh, in my head I wound it up into this train wreck, nightmare, horror story, and really what it is like just what it is in the moment.
Just what it is in the moment, yeah. And in fact, one thing that I learned a long time ago is that when you resist pain, you're like, oh, I wish I didn't have a headache, or oh, I wish I didn't have a sore throat, right? Somehow it magnifies the pain.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you just accept it, okay, it's here now, it demagnifies it, you know? So you actually feel worse when you're fighting the illness, and you feel better just accepting, okay, this is what is now.
Yeah.
You know, it's something even as simple as that causes a shift.
I'm going through bouts now where, whereas before, you know, I would, you know, like, buy into them, and now I can see them for, you know, for what it is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. So, be quick to listen to the true desire of the heart, and you are quick to realize the joy of your truth. Your truth is joy, so whenever you are not joyful, you are misunderstanding what you are. That's an interesting, interesting statement too. Whenever we're not happy, it's really because we're believing we're the false self. That's the true cause of unhappiness. Do not merely listen to my words without practicing what I say. To listen but not to practice is to be like a man who looks in the mirror but then goes away and forgets what he saw. When this line came, I do remember I was in a phase then when, you know, I would sit down in the morning and NTI would come and there would be great clarity and I would be all motivated to be spiritually practicing and stuff. But then I would get up at some point, go about my day, and I went completely back into my ego. It's like I, you know, like the morning never happened. And so this line really struck me when he said, it's like a man who looks in the mirror, because in the morning, it's like I knew who I was. I was looking in the mirror, and then by afternoon, I would forget. And I don't know, something about that struck me, and I thought, yeah, that doesn't make any sense, to not be holding this in the front of my mind all the time, to walk away and just go all the way back into the old Regina. Doesn't make any sense. Remember that which you see as you listen to me. Practice it with your every breath, and you do remember the truth of what you are. So this was really encouraging me when I got out of the chair to take with me whatever it was I received in the morning and not leave it behind in the chair. Right? Know thyself. This is your only purpose. Hold tight to your purpose. Let go of everything that is not of this purpose, and to your purpose you are true. So here it's wording that true desire as to know our true self, know thyself, which you could also call awakening. You could just call knowing truth. You could even call it being only love, right? Being clear. Lots of ways to word it, but know thyself. So that's James chapter 1, and it seems like probably the primary thing that James chapter 1 is asking us to do is to keep our spiritual aspiration or true desire in the front of our mind. So there's probably two possible practices for this week. One is, if you're not sure if you know what your true desire is or your spiritual aspiration, kind of contemplate it. You know, what is that? You know, what really is that motivating idea that I can hold in front of me and then see everything differently? You know, where a moment ago I was impatient and now I'm willing to wait happily. You know, a moment ago I was having a grievance against someone and now I'm willing to let him be as he is. You know, what is that idea that shifts me? And then if you know that idea, just try keeping it in the front of your mind all week. And whenever you notice another idea has taken over, allow this idea to come back to the front.
Good one.
Yeah.